joining us on the Revolution Hotline. Jeff, thank you for sitting through that nonsensical conversation. I apologize. How are you?
I'm doing well, thanks.
Most of us don't have that option. Now, I guess if you write a book, you can write it however you want, so you can work some long days and then take a few days off.
Not many days off.
Well, you're an attorney in addition to being an investigative journalist and an author now, so you got a lot going on.
Yeah, mostly writing, though.
Okay.
That's been the main thing, and certainly this a book like this is pretty consuming.
Pros and cons, the criminals who play in the NFL, we've talked about a little bit in the first hour as we were teasing your interview. So I guess the number one question for us is, how close does it mirror what goes on in society, or how out of whack is the NFL and the level of criminality?
Well, you know, it's a group that's pretty hard to compare to the rest of society. I get asked this a lot, but, I mean, if you think about it, these are guys who are primarily between the ages of about 23 and 30. They've been to college. They make seven figures, and they live in the best zip codes. That's usually not the group of people that shows up in the FBI crime statistics, which is the number that the NFL likes to compare them to, but it's not a good comparison. And these guys really have all the advantages and every reason to kind of stay out of trouble with the law. But there's a percentage of NFL players that get in trouble despite what the league does to try to minimize it. And to give the league credit, they do a lot more now than they did when I first started looking at this stuff in the mid-90s. There have been a lot of improvements, but there's still a percentage of players that have trouble staying out of the trouble spots, that carry illegal guns, and that get in trouble, particularly between the Super Bowl and when training camp opens in the summer.
The gun thing is an issue all into its own. Is that a fear thing or a habit thing that you've found with athletes?
Well, if you ask guys, if you surveyed them and said, you know, why do you carry, a lot of them say they carry for protection, which to me doesn't really make sense, because they can afford to hire protection. And I mean, I don't know when the last time you've heard a story of an NFL player, you know, saving himself with a gun. It doesn't really happen. There have been more examples of players hurting themselves with guns.
Yeah, poor Plaxico Burress.
Yeah, or hurting other people, and so I think that's a kind of a misnomer. But there is a culture where a lot of players have guns, and where they typically get in trouble with them is in places like where they get pulled over for a motor vehicle violation, or they're at an airport and they forgot to take it out of their bag. Mm-hmm. That's usually how it shows up. And then there's obviously the cases where players actually use the guns in the commission of a crime, like the Aaron Hernandez case. But it's more often that these guns show up in searches.
Yeah, it's just this is totally off topic, but related, I guess, is that it's amazing how many athletes carry guns allegedly for protection, and yet we find so many illegitimate kids related to professional athletes. So they only want to use protection when it's convenient for them. So anyway, moving on. I don't even know where I'm going with that, but it just is funny to me.
Side note.
Yeah, I mean, if you looked at that versus society, you might find a little higher rate of kids that are unwanted children for professional athletes too. But anyway, okay, so. How big an issue is it? I mean, I saw a stat in here that one out of every five NFL players has been charged with a serious crime. Where do you get the numbers, and what do you consider a serious crime?
The number comes from research that I performed with co-author. We basically took roster players, and we did criminal background checks on close to 600 guys from one season. It was basically all the players that we could perform a full criminal background check on. And I mean, we knew of more players, but these were the ones that had a full background check. And a little over 20% of them showed up with a record. And how we define serious crime were basically felonies or crimes that involve violence, weapons, or the illegal use of substances. Or substance abuse, and so we avoided misdemeanors and petty minor offenses. Mm-hmm. To me, that's a really high number. 20% is, when you consider the other factors I mentioned up front, you know, most people who go to college and earn that kind of money, and live in these kinds of neighborhoods like these players live in, you're not represented anywhere near that in the arrest rates. And so I think it's a really high number. I also think it's high because these players are looked at, you know, whether it makes sense or not, they're looked at as role models or heroes to lots of kids.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you and I might look at that and say, well, that's silly, or they shouldn't be, but we don't get to make that choice. A lot of kids have these guys' posters on their walls. They wear their jerseys to school with their names on it, and they want to be like these guys. And so you have some NFL players or pro athletes in general who take that really seriously, and they live up to that. But you have other guys who seem to not really care about that, and it causes a lot of problems for the league. And I think that's one of the reasons. It's not certainly the only reason, but it is a reason that the league does as much as it does to try to tamp this stuff down, because it's a very image-conscious organization.
Yeah.
And they know that. But it's hard to tell guys who are full-grown adults that you shouldn't go to strip clubs and run around with guys that that have bad raps and carry guns that, because some of these things, frankly, there's nothing illegal about going to a strip club, you know, at 2 in the morning with some seedy friends from your boyhood days. It's a stupid thing to do, but it's not an illegal thing to do. And the league has trouble with, you know, trying to regulate those kinds of things.
Mm-hmm.
But the reason that stuff matters is because if you look at arrest reports, it's amazing how many times guys get arrested after leaving one of those clubs. Typically, these guys are getting arrested between midnight and 3 or 4 in the morning, and that's usually when bad things happen.
It is funny how that works out. Doesn't matter if you're a professional athlete or otherwise.
That's right.
Jeff Benedict joining us. Pros and Cons, The Criminals Who Play in the NFL is the book. Roger Goodell certainly has been more in front of this than maybe commissioners of other leagues, and certainly more in front of it than other NFL commissioners in the past. He is less tolerant. Has it been impactful in some
way? Yes, I think it has. And I mean, and I'm saying that as someone who's probably been more critical of the NFL and particularly the commissioner's office than anyone in the last 15 years. But I think he's done things that are very noticeably different from what the previous commissioner didn't do. And I think it has had an impact because he's put in, you know, mandatory punishments and suspensions for players who are, you know, convicted of crimes and stuff like that. There's certainly more that can be done, and I think that the Hernandez case, while it is unusual, meaning it's not very typical for NFL players to get charged with something that serious and egregious. It would be wrong to sort of describe that as the norm, because it's not.
Right.
But it's cases like that that I think push the envelope, in the sense that it gets so much attention and casts such a bad light on the league that cases like that are what push you towards a tipping point. And I think it would be surprising to me if you don't see the league go even further in the coming months in terms of addressing crime and off-the-field misbehavior.
To the point where maybe they're banned for life?
Well, I suppose that's a possibility, you know, but
The bottom line is these athletes need the league more than the league needs them.
No question. I mean, that's the thing, is that there is always a new crop of players coming out of college every year, deep talent pool. And what I was thinking is that it's just going to get less and less attractive to keep players like this on the payroll.
Mm-hmm.
And for teams to take chances like the Patriots did in offering somebody like this the kind of money they offered, when there is a history. And it's not like these teams don't know, you know, the history of these players. They know who the guys who pose a risk are, and there's been a willingness to take chances. And I think that you're going to see that willingness continue to shrink and shrink.
We know that there are guys, and Aaron Hernandez is one, that have come from less than ideal upbringings. And you have made the point, too, and we were talking about it earlier. I mean, whether you want to compare him to society as a whole or you want to compare him to rich society, which these guys are part of now, I'm not sure what the best fit is there. I think we can agree that these are guys that certainly have means and opportunities that a lot of us don't have. So it is probably unfair to compare them to society as a norm, because it's like you've made it. Now you need to start acting like you've made it. But is there an answer in there? And is there something the league can do that they aren't doing to help these guys understand this is you now? This is, you're not this guy anymore. And I know they've made efforts to talk to these guys, rookie symposiums, and all these types of things. But is there something else they should be doing or could be doing to help the Aaron Hernandez of the world understand I'm not that guy anymore?
From a league standpoint, I mean, I would say the answer to that is probably no, in the sense that I think that the league does a lot now to get that message across. I mean, how many times can you put these guys in a room and tell them what you just said?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there are a certain number of players where that just doesn't get through for whatever reason. I think most of the players get the message, and they get it in their rookie year, and then it's reinforced as they go on. The question, though, to me is not so much a league one, it's a team or individual organization question, is once you pick a guy like that and you decide to give him money and bring him in, you know, what have the New England Patriots been doing for the last 3 years with Aaron Hernandez? I don't know. I mean, it's a mystery to me and probably a lot of other people as to what, if anything, they did to monitor and to sort of stay on top of his situation, because that's really the question. You know, if you're going to make choices to pick guys like this, where a guy like Hernandez should have been picked in the first round, everybody knows that. He slipped to the fourth round, and everybody knows why. And so once he's in the fold, so to speak, and you're now 3 or 4 years into the situation, what's happening, if anything? And is security involved? Is there a guy on the team who's assigned to, you know, just monitor and be involved with him on a regular basis? Because, you know, I don't know what the answer to that is. And the other thing you have is, I mentioned up front the off season. There is an uptick in these problems that mm-hmm. happens in the off season, and one of the reasons is because there's not as much structure in the off season. The time commitment is almost non-existent, other than, you know, individual training and occasional mini camps. But there's a lot of time where these guys are just out there. And unlike the season, where you're in practice and traveling and in games and in meetings all the time. And so at some point you say, you know, look, these guys are kind of responsible for themselves. They are adults. And look, I mean, that's why the decision to pick these guys is so important, because you're making a huge investment in someone who, you know, is capable of going off the rails.
Jeff Benedict, an investigative journalist and attorney, also the author of Pros and Cons, Criminals Who Play in the NFL, joining us on the Revolution Hotline. And Jeff, you talk about these players, and a lot of them get to that status where they've made it. And do you think that they feel like they can get away with more, that they've made it to that level?
I think there's, you know, this is a double-edged sword. Obviously, they're under a bigger spotlight than most people. Their actions are watched. When they go into a night spot, people know who they are because they're recognizable, and they're bigger than everybody else. It's, you know, people know who they are. So when they act up, it's going to get more attention. The flip side of that is they also have a much bigger safety net around them. Part of that is just a result of having a lot of money. Like anyone else who has a lot of money, they can hire the best attorneys. They have agents. They have handlers. They have people who take care of things for them. But I think the more important thing is that ever since they were very young, you know, high school, when you have a superior athletic talent, you get treated differently. And I'm not just talking about guys who act badly, but even guys who act well and follow all the rules, they still get treated differently. If you're a superior athlete in our culture, you get good treatment. You're looked up to. People like you. They want to do things for you. And as you escalate through college, and if you're fortunate enough to make it all the way to the pro ranks, by that time you really get different treatment, and your lifestyle is just inherently different. And so, yeah, there is an understanding that life is different for you. Not all the rules apply. You don't stop at all the stop signs that other people stop at. I mean, literally, when you get in your vehicle to go to work, you're on a bus that is escorted by police and doesn't stop at red lights and stop signs. I mean, that's sort of a metaphor for what their life is like. And so for guys who want to take advantage of that and act up and sort of disregard the law, and again, there's a percentage of players, it's small, but there's a percentage of them who exploit that. And at some point, it catches up with them.
Well, speaking of small percentages, for those of us in our listenership that read, Pros and Cons, The Criminals Who Play in the NFL. That's the book. Check it out. Jeff Benedict working with Don Yeager on this one. So an interesting read, I'm sure, for all of us, especially for those of us who are trying to stay connected to football here in the off season. What are you working on now?
Just finished a book actually coming out in September called The System, and it's about the glory and scandal of big-time college football. It's been one of the greatest projects I've ever worked on, but I did this one with Armin Katayan from CBS.
Yeah.
Basically, we spent the last year embedded with some of the top college football programs in the country, traveling with them, going to training camp, going through the season, seeing everything that a fan usually doesn't get to see. The book gives you kind of the feel that you're there with these players and coaches going through a college football season. And it's pretty fascinating for me and for Armin to do it. But that's The System comes out in September, right at the start of the season.
Cool. Well, let's get you on again when we get ready to release that.
I'd love to do it.
All right, Jeff, thanks so much for the time. Appreciate it. Very interesting stuff.
Thank you, guys.
All right, take care. Yeah, I'm having a hard time really wrapping my head around it. And, you know, it's a tough deal. Because
which part are you having a tough time wrapping your head around?
I'm not sure how much people can change. And if you're raised a certain way and you're brought up in a certain way.
Money doesn't change it.
And I think a lot of these guys, it's the toughness that you sort of develop as a kid if you're in a less than an ideal environment that makes you who you are and helps you get to where you are.
You don't want to lose that.
Yeah, and it's just like guys who make X amount of money, whether you're a professional fighter or you do something else that's dangerous or whatever. I mean, I wonder when guys will wake up one day and go, gee, I got enough money, I'm going to hang it up. I mean, there's no reason for Floyd Mayweather to fight again. He's made more money than he's ever going to need to spend.
He's made more money than almost any pro athlete will ever make.
Exactly.
Ever combined.
I mean, and so you wonder, I'm like, it's like, you know, it's like Popovich.
Yeah.
You love it. You're competitive. It's enjoyable. It's not dangerous. I mean, but it's certainly a tough grind physically and mentally. It's time away from your family. I wonder when, you know, why more guys don't wake up and go, like, you know, Barry Sanders is a great example.
Sure.
I wanted more from Barry Sanders. I loved watching him play.
A lot of people did.
Even though he was beating up on my favorite team, he was great to watch, and I hated to see him retire so early, but he figured it out. He's like, look, I made all the money I need to make. How much more do I want to do? So, again,
on a bad team.
Yeah, there's just not enough self-awareness maybe for some of these athletes, and you want to shake them and go, you have all the talent in the world. You're making a ton of money. You got everything going for you. Just don't be stupid. I mean, Pac-Man's another example, and he keeps getting chance after chance. He's in the league
he's
now.
He's still in the league.
That's amazing.
And he's a success story is what he is,
it
surprising
me,
as that sounds.
As a guy who has no talent whatsoever, it irritates me that these guys basically take a leak on their own talent. It's incredible to me. It's like you've been given an unbelievable opportunity and gift, and you have basically spit on it.
You just it's easy to say that as an outsider, but you know, you just never really know what someone's going
through. I'd like
through.
To think if I was talented
sure.
that I would appreciate it.
I understand.
I've never been good at anything, so I don't know what that's like. It's got to be awesome, though.
You can dream.
Nothing bothers me more than guys who don't get anywhere close to reaching their potential or blow it once they do. This kind of stuff drives me nuts. It's one of my great pet peeves in life.
Really?
For as long as I live, I'll never understand it.
Well?
You just want to shake these guys and go, dumb. Quit being stupid.
It's easy to do that from the outside.
I know
you just never
is.
Know what someone's going through. But I see where you're coming from.
Well, I know what Aaron
Respect
Hernandez is going through now.
You do? You know what it's like to be in that cell?
I know what he's. Well, I have a feel. I've done enough. I've covered enough trials to know that it's going to be a long, hard road for him the next month or so before he gets another appearance in court and begs again to be let out.
Think about this: with all the evidence against him, and he knows about it too, he's got to think. I mean, this is his chances of getting out for beyond all reasonable doubt for a jury not to convict him. He's got a long shot of ever making it out.
Well, and if he's
walking outside those walls he's currently in.
Look, things have changed,
too.
Ray Lewis had trumped-up charges brought against him. Okay, that whole thing was baloney. Now, two men were dead, and it was a terrible deal, and they need somebody to pay for it, and you go after the most high-profile
guy. There was some
guy.
Evidence against him, too, that arguably could have been
He was in a bad situation. He was in the wrong place at the wrong time with the wrong people.
Yes.
Okay, but the bottom line is he didn't stab anybody, and I will believe that to my dying day. But he's learned a lesson, and the league was in a different place then than it is now. Okay.
Definitely.
Aaron Hernandez, even if he's cleared of this, is going to sit some time. He's going to serve some time out of the league. Okay. He is going to be suspended for an extended period of time, no matter what, because it's a black eye for the league.
No question.
And the other thing is, guess what? The shine is off the New England Patriots. This was an organization that everybody put up on this pedestal, including me, as the ultimate organization in the NFL. They win. They do it the right way. They have a code of conduct they expect. Belichick takes no crap. He will cut you as soon as promote you.
What takes them off the pedestal?
Because they're not, my point is, they're not immune to this. They failed in high-profile situations, including a couple of Super Bowls. So my thing is, as great as the organization is, I'm not sure it's quite the gold standard we thought it was.
Really?
It shines off it for me, bro.
So what is the gold standard?
Okay, you got the video.
The video
spy
was a black guy. That was a black guy.
But
this is off the field. I mean, this is something that, how are they going to control what a guy does in, on his own time in the off season?
No question.
That's what I'm saying.
I'm just saying,
the difference.
But we had this sort of feeling that whatever it is they're doing, it's magical to some degree.
Okay.
That everything's working out great for him.
Well, they cut him instantly. I mean, well, I guess they. What you're saying is, if they would have cut him at the time of the first
I think they've responded fine.
So you're just saying their gold shiny armor is off.
Yeah, they were basically put on this pedestal that, oh my gosh, they can do no
they're
wrong.
They're perfect.
Exactly. I got you. Gave them way too much credit. I'm not saying they're failing, and I'm still saying they're in the upper echelon, and they may still be at the top of the heap as far as
But they don't have the gold polish.
Yeah, they're not as shiny as we thought they were.
Shiny.
They're not above They're not infallible, and nor should you expect them to be, but they kept getting it right so many times in a row that you started thinking, well, gee, they can do no wrong.
Okay.
Right? Do you ever feel like that? I guess I gave them a little more credit. Now, my former co-host probably influenced me to some degree, having heard about how awesome they were for months and months on end.
I could see that.
Yeah, so I guess I was probably roped into it a little bit.
Yes. And don't get me